from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moving around like a chess piece, I mean, I love it. Shows that you can have some versatility and that you actually know what you're doing out there, and you can build more trust between you, your OC, and your quarterback.
I mean, it's everything I thought it was going to be, honestly. You know, he's a great quarterback in this league. You know, my job is to go out there and make sure I'm in tune with the playbook, make sure I know what I'm doing, you know, build that trust with him to know that when I'm out there, I understand what my assignment is.
No such thing as an X or Y or Z. You got to get open. You call the receiver, not whatever receiver. You just got to be able to get open. And it's hard to learn the playbook just trying to learn one position, because you can easily be on the other side of the field, in the slot, outside, inside. You could be motioning to it, different things like that. So I learned the playbook conceptually. So I learned concept by concept and learned every single spot.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, good morning from St. John Fisher. We're back. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University, presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Jeremy and Joe, Josh Schmidt is back producing after a little getaway of his own where he went to see, Polo?
That is correct.
There was a polo match.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was
he watched men on
wild.
Horses, men and women on horses smacking the ball around. A polo match.
Yeah.
It was nothing of what I expected, and it was amazing. Like, it was weird, but also kind of cool. You got to go out on the field at halftime and at the end of the game. We got a picture with one of the guys on his horse.
I was going to say, I wanted you to finish that sentence with, I got a picture with one of the horses.
With one of the horses, right.
Who's the star of the show?
Yeah, and it's weird, too, because they change horses every single, they call it chuckers. They're not periods,
next man
they're
up,
not quarters.
Man. Obviously, just like Sean McDermott rotates his defensive line, you got to rotate horses.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was basically soccer on horses with some little tweaks here and there.
Yeah.
A dog ran onto the field at one point, which thankfully there wasn't a play going on, but that's something I've never seen.
It was just a wayward dog? He wasn't working there?
Nope. He was someone's dog. Like, honestly, the vibe of the atmosphere was like a Bills tailgate, but like more calm. Like, people were there with tents and grills and like giant tables full of food and coolers and everything. And like, we sat up like in like the grandstand area, which really wasn't much, but like the majority of the fans that sat there were all like under tents with like grills and food and things like that. And it was honestly kind of a cool atmosphere, but it was just, I didn't know what to expect. So it was weird, but interesting.
Very different if you're watching the Olympic Games, polo, very different from water polo.
Yeah, there are no horses,
that's right.
I believe, in water
there
polo.
There are not. It's a very different game.
Yes, it's very different. And
hey, you
also
can lead
don't
a horse to water, but
water
not make
polo.
Him play polo.
That's right. You cannot make him play water polo.
Yeah. Are they called sticks? The things
mallets.
That they're hitting the ball with?
Mallets.
Mallets.
Mallets, yeah. Mallets.
Okay. The polo mallets?
Polo mallets. All right. Hey, coming up today, we've got Sal Capaccio joining us at 7 to recap the weekend at training camp. We'll talk to Matt Perino of the Shout podcast. He does with Brian Talbot. And at 9 o'clock, Steve Tasker. You know, Tasker's always walking through here, and I told him last week, hey, we'll hammer you down for a day, pin you down on a day, and today's the day. So Steve Tasker joins us at 9 o'clock. Full coverage here from St. John Fisher once again. There's a lot of different ways to go to start. You have anything top of mind? I've got a million things written down to get to, some about the historical context of today, because it's going to be maybe 90 degrees here today and tomorrow.
Yeah,
the forecast here in Rochester calls for, I don't know if we say extreme heat, but close.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a high of, well, let me double check here. My phone's going to update to Rochester, not Buffalo. But it's going to be hot.
It's going to be at least high 80s, I think I saw, and maybe also humid today at practice.
And not breezy.
Yeah.
And it's true in Buffalo, too, listening on the way in. So it's going to be hot. There's that. You'd practice yesterday. We've got all the receivers saying everybody eats. I'd like to get into that. We've got a Tua contract.
Yes.
That's in the book.
I'm
ready to go with you on that. We've got a Jordan Love contract extension as well. We've got
Keon Coleman making some plays,
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay, let's start there.
That's kind of the thing that was on the top of my mind that was from the weekend. I was at practice on Friday. Wasn't there Sunday, but I saw a lot of the reaction in the clips. Did you see Ian Harditz's tweet?
I did not, but
from Fantasy Life.
But I saw Brett Coleman's tweet about Keon Coleman, and we can probably compare them and get going.
Just I feel like this kind of encapsulates the weekend, or maybe just training camp in football in general, and how we treat it, how we digest it. Where Ian Harditz tweeted, April 27th to July 27th, Keon Coleman might have a bright future, but sure looks like Bills are going to bring him along slowly. Still a lot to learn. No reason to get wild expectations for 2024. July 28th. Holy bleep, look at this 10-yard touchdown in practice.
Yes. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Here's Brett Coleman. I know it's irresponsible to make evaluations, but just on vibes, Keon Coleman feels like one of those receivers we look back on in 6 and 7 years and wonder how the hell he slipped.
Mm-hmm.
So the question for Sal at 7, because he was here over the weekend, we've seen some Coleman. You know, the first couple days we were here, he's out there.
I was on the sidelines on, I think it was Friday, when he beat Rasul Douglas over the top for a touchdown.
Okay. So the question for Sal will be, and maybe he can't answer it today, it's something to watch over the course of this week and next week, is Coleman having Kincaid's camp? There's a lot of constant. Is Keon Coleman having Kincaid's camp? Which is, last year, Dalton Kincaid showed up and was just good.
Yep.
He's a part of the offense.
Everyone said he looked like a pro.
Yep. He fit right in. There was no bring him along slowly. He was just good. And is Keon Coleman having that camp? The kind of camp where, listen, at mini camp or OTAs, whichever one, Brandon Bean talked about how much he's got to learn. And some took that to be a little bit of a, hey, temper expectations. He's a rookie. Not everybody comes in and has monster seasons. In fact, rookie 1,000-yard receivers, there's not a lot of those in league history.
There are not, no.
So you got Bean doing that back at OTAs, and now what you might have is Coleman making enough plays and making enough of an impression where expectations are going to start creeping back up again.
Yeah, towards maybe flirt with 1,000 yards.
Sure.
Or be one of those. They're not even – receiver, they're not quite anomalies. It's just rare that a receiver gets Puka Nacua had 1,500 last year, didn't he?
Right.
That's a guy, by the way, I think I heard on a fantasy podcast Coleman getting compared to. I don't know how bad that is. Coleman to Puka Nacua?
It seems
maybe it was just the big slot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it ended. But Coleman's expectations for touchdowns too, because a lot of the plays I saw him make were like kind of red zone near the end zone where he was beating a guy just a little bit and then would make the catch even if it was a little bit tough. That appears to be like every play I feel like I've seen him make in camp, I think has been in the end zone.
Yeah.
So far.
Well, they've done a lot of red zone.
They've done right. I was gonna say the team's done a lot of that.
Yep.
So that contributes to it, but you know, I'll be interested to hear from Sal or maybe more so from Bean or McDermott and Brady throughout the next week or two. Like, how's he doing with the other stuff?
Yeah.
Because, okay, he can come out here and make plays, and that will get him on the field, but it won't have him playing the amount that Gabe Davis was playing or even 70% of the amount that Gabe Davis was playing in that X position. And if he is slow at getting a lot of that, then who gets on the field more? Then you're looking at Matt Collins on the field more, and you're looking at maybe Valdez Scantling on the field more. Kincaid, for how good a camp he had last year, and he got some work early in the year before Knox got injured, go look at the snap counts. Like, he was playing like less than 60% of their snaps on offense. I think tight end's different, of course, because of, you know, 12 personnel is just not as regular in the league, but that other stuff's going to matter for Coleman being on the field above making plays, because if you want to be out there all the time running as many routes as possible, then he's going to have to be a full-force pro receiver right away here.
They're putting him in the slot in the open that Josh played. You hear him talking about, you know, different positions and learning concepts. We've got Joe Brady from last week saying, we don't have positions, we have concepts. Is that what it was?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Anybody could play any position in any concept.
Sure. And there's a little bit from the weekend of Curtis Samuel taking running back snaps. That might have been in part because James Cook had a personal day, missed some time.
Yep.
The thing about camp, and here's your grain of salt. I saw last year, 2 years ago, I'm losing count. 2 years ago, it was Isaiah McKenzie in the backfield all the time. Oh, he's going to go to the backfield. Didn't happen.
Do you remember who it was last year?
Jamison Crowder.
Okay.
Because 2 years ago, it was Jameis. Oh,
there was a different guy last year.
Last year
it
was Diggs?
No, last year it was Knox.
Knox. Dawson Knox in the backfield.
Knox was in the backfield last year. Everyone was like, ooh, look at this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we saw Latavius Murray and Dawson Knox lined up wide last year. So the Bills, as a positionless team,
they've
been trying to kind of pull this off for a while. I don't know if it's any different from anybody else, really.
Sometimes you practice it to run it like 10 times during a season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they actually did use Diggs out of the backfield sometimes last year on, like, a third and short, and he would run a quick route from running back and would make the catch. But, I mean, they couldn't have done it more than, like, a dozen times.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, a feature of their offense.
So we're still getting, you know, positionless football and, you know, guys in the backfield. Okay, I don't know how much I'm thinking about Curtis Samuel in the backfield because I see him at training camp. I've seen that the last couple years, and you know, it's a coin flip whether or not you actually ever see in reality.
What about positionless receivers, though?
Positionless receivers.
Like, receivers that, unlike, you know, Beasley comes up here a lot because he was someone that could really only play slot. Gabe Davis was someone that didn't feel like you would ever want to kick in the slot.
He could only play outside,
so
right?
So how much different will they be on that front, where you kind of, for the last few years, I'm not saying the Bills haven't been great at receiver despite this, but you kind of knew mostly where everyone would line up. And is it truly different now that they could have any of these guys line up in any different spot?
It might be different, but that doesn't mean it's better. And without saying that it's worse. If you tell me you're going to give me an outside, a Z and X and a Y, prototypical ZXY, prototypical slot, which maybe Shakir is, and another good outside guy that's the Davis role, a guy in the Diggs role, and you never switch their positions, but they're good, I think I'm fine.
Yeah,
that's not how the Bills are going to tackle it this year, and maybe that's because Joe Brady wants to keep defensive coordinators guessing, or maybe it's because nobody is so good at one thing that they're a little bit more malleable. I mean, I'd be surprised to see Shakir out wide all that much. He lives over the middle. That's why Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir had such high efficiency.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps.
and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Last year, one of the reasons, Josh Allen. Two, the two of them are pretty good. Three, they lived over the middle of the field. Right. Like they played the slot. And it's harder to get the ball to the guy in the boundary. There's that clip we had recently, Tom Brady talking about how important it is to get your number one receiver involved in the game early. And he said it's easy to get the ball to anybody over the middle.
Yeah.
To get it to your outside guys is hard. And Brady's talking about it in that clip, saying, I made a point to try to get a ball to whoever it was because that guy works really hard. His job is way harder on the outside. And maybe the Bills are going to throw guys on the outside and not throw the ball there. We'll see. But Coleman, man, back to the point that we started with, which is if Keon Coleman ends up being a stud, that's great news, of course. And I want to decide how far I want to go in on this mini snark of mine.
Yeah.
I was thinking about a Twitter poll about this. Everybody for the last 2 months, I shouldn't say everybody, plenty of people for the last 2 months, 3 months, have been trying to sell the idea that having a great receiver is not great. Mm. It's bad. So if I offer you Keon Coleman gets 1,300 yards and wins Rookie of the Year, you have to be mad about that. Well, no, it's actually better to not have a guy like that. And they're selling everybody eats, right? Joe Brady says everybody eats, and I get it. They're going to spread the ball around. They've done that the whole time Josh Allen's here. They tied the NFL record for touchdown passes to targets. Right. Was it 14? They threw touchdowns to everybody. It's one of the hallmarks of Josh Allen is he does spread the ball around. Last year, Diggs got a lot of targets. That might be in large part because the rest of the receivers were the worst they'd been in a while until Shakir showed up and Brady got some more production out of him. So, you know, just thinking about what their offense might look like, what we want it to look like, we want it to be good. And, again, I don't know how to phrase the Twitter poll without making it seem like I'm trying to start a fight.
Yeah.
But if I offer you a standard, all right, they're going to finish top five in offense. What's better, top five in offense with no 1,000-yard receivers or top five offense with Keon Coleman going ham? It's way better if you get a stud.
It's much better if you get a – if he's great, if he's A.J. Brown.
It'd be amazing.
I mean, of I don't even know how you could – I think we tried – we hear the other side a lot right now because it's where they are. It's their current circumstance, right? Of, hey, there is another way to do this that can be okay if you don't have the top guy. But go back to what Bean said the day they traded Diggs. You know, because since they did that, it's, well, actually, if they have this guy and this guy and this guy and you have a bunch of guys and they don't know where you're going to go with it and you're going to have to force feed one mouth, like, hey, that could actually be good. Oh, look at the Packers 10,000 times in the last 3 months.
Yep.
What did Bean say the moment they traded Diggs? He said, we're not as good a team today as we were yesterday.
But then he said, but the offseason's not over.
And he did say the offseason. But, yeah, but since then, they signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right. And they drafted.
Was Coleman after?
Yeah.
The draft was.
Yep.
Okay, that's right. You're right.
Yep.
Still, though, they said Would they tell you right now they think they're a better team without Stephon Diggs? Maybe they would right now. But in an honest moment, well, do they really think they're a better team not having Stephon Diggs right
a
now?
A lot of Bills fans are hoping they're a better team. And I also think that we're going to live in a year where everything that happens will be a reaction to Diggs. Oh, the offense is celebrating more because, you know, somebody tweet me this, they're having fun again. Okay, fine. They weren't having fun when a guy was on the team. I like to joke back that maybe they didn't like Mitch Morse. You know, like, not everything is going to be about the old number 14. And for me, like, that breakup, that timeline, it does make sense. If you go back to before it all happened, when we were on the wide receiver train talking about the draft and Keon Coleman or whoever, the idea was get somebody that will help this natural process where people were going to start expecting less from Diggs. That was the idea at the start,
right?
Was we need someone to help transition because by a year from now, and the Bills just kind of sped that up. So,
right.
You know, to say he's a depreciating or a declining asset isn't controversial. It's maybe a little earlier than some had thought. But when they signed Curtis Samuel, which is the first thing that happened,
yeah.
I mean, Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com, who we have on the station, on the morning show, on the afternoon show, when they signed Samuel, he raved about it and said this is exactly the guy they need with Diggs, right? So you want to compare Samuel to Diggs. You want to compare Coleman to Diggs. Like, there are a lot of different ways they could have done this, and the way they've done it is fine with me. I always say, Joe,
it's just not good if one of these guys doesn't completely break out.
Right.
Coleman is the name for that.
I'll be blown away if no one does. If no one does, we'll be talking about finding someone that will. So, you know, everybody eats is just like your 1/11th. And the Bills' defense, here's another comparison if you want to do it this way. A defense is obviously bigger, has more bodies than just a receiver core or a pass catcher core. The Bills' defense is 1/11th. And along the way, what happened? Matt Milano made All-Pro. Jordan Poyer, first-team All-Pro. Tre'Davious White, amazing. Micah Hyde. Along the way, your stars show out. And you're going to have your A.J. Epinesa, who's a nice role player. Not everybody is going to be great. Somebody has to step up in this new-look defense that we're going to see this year. We're waiting to see, is fifth-round pick Javon Solomon a stud, diamond in the rough? Is Cole Bishop going to be the guy that they drafted him to be? We're going to find a bunch of new names. Terrell Bernard, right? Terrell Bernard was, okay, he's going to go in there. He's no Tremaine Edmonds. Actually, he's a stud. Mm-hmm. The idea that he would just blend into the wallpaper as 1/11th is a good idea in training camp, but the game is won by great players. The game is won by stars, and as long as you have, you know, guys that aren't taking that away, you're in pretty good shape. So the Coleman returns early, or the reports early on Coleman, I love what I'm hearing. I love it. The number one way to get me on board with anybody in this passing game is for them to be an amazing player that Josh Allen wants to lean on as much as he did Diggs. Too many people talk about forcing the ball there. What happened was Allen leaned on it because it was good, and he knew it.
Yeah.
You know, you trust Allen's instincts. When he's on the run, he would look for the same. Beasley, did he force the ball to Beasley, or did he just know, I've got a good thing here? And I think Kincaid will be that this year, and I do think Coleman will be that this year. They'll throw him a lot of balls in the red zone, and Allen will probably lean on him quite a bit.
Well, the idea of forcing it, by the way, isn't always a bad thing. I was watching, I did this again last weekend, I mentioned this, that I just had to watch some highlights just to remind myself of what game football looked like. So I just had an Allen highlight reel on the other day. And there's a play early in the season last year against Washington where maybe it's early in the game before they started running away with it. And he's rolling out to the right, and he's got guys beating down on him. He's about to get sacked or have to throw it away. And he's looking. So what does he do? Okay, I got one last gasp here to keep this drive alive. Let me force the ball to Stephon Diggs. He's covered. But let me put it where only he can get it. It's going to be really tough, and he's going to have to make a tough catch. But I'm going to force the ball into a guy who's covered. And who am I going to throw it to? I'm going to throw it to Diggs. And what happened? It was a 40-yard play. So forcing the ball doesn't always need to be a bad thing. And that is an area where that often has been Diggs and Davis when he's rolling out. He's running around. He's buying time. And, okay, the play's broken down. Now he's just got to put it somewhere. And who's he trusting to put that ball on? Oftentimes it was those two guys. And this year it's going to be somebody different. And I do wonder if Coleman, as a rookie, can be that guy for Allen at all. When he's scrambling, when he's buying time, and the ball's got to come out, and he's got to force it somewhere, and he's got to throw it to a guy he trusts to at least have a play at it. I think Kincaid is definitely going to be that, right?
Yep.
Like, those types of plays, that's going to be Kincaid. But I wonder if Coleman can be that too, because his skill set, watching him on some of these catches, like, he really is, like, when the ball is near him, he's very often coming down with it. He's got, like, crazy tough hands, and you could see the physicality that he's got. So, like, the forcing the ball is going to happen along the way, and I think Kincaid is good for that, and I would hope Coleman is going to be the next man up for that.
803-0550, our phone number, if you want to jump in. A thought with this on, you know, it would be a good season, would be an awesome season for Coleman, for anybody else. The receiver core, the pass-catching core, it's, you know, a constant source of conversation. Sal at 7, Matt Parrino, 8:30, Steve Tasker at 9. The news in the NFL from the weekend, there was a lot of it. Quarterback deals. Jordan Love and Tua both get theirs. Very different. By the way,
yeah,
the true numbers on the Tua deal are not bad at all, right? They're fine?
The numbers don't appear to be bad.
Sure.
It's a 3-year commitment.
Three-year commitment to the guy that led the league in passing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seems like a good idea to me. I mean, I know Bills fans like to dunk on the Dolphins and Tua all the time, and I'm sure you'll be doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a new axe to grind in my entire sports life.
Okay.
That is the way the NFL media talks about the salary cap and salaries.
Okay.
It is so broken. I can't wait to talk about it. I did some ridiculous, unnecessary, why would you do that level of work on salary stuff in the
okay.
NFL? Like, I'm just sitting home on a Saturday. It's beautiful outside.
It was nice out, wasn't
and
it?
And I got yeah. Spot Track open. I'm already crunching numbers on a Saturday, shouting into the air like, yeah, I knew that. Anyway, so I'll get you some of that as well. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. We are live once again from Buffalo Bills training camp at St. John Fisher University. Going to be a hot one today. I'm going to take you down memory lane, ask if you're old enough to remember something from a long, long time ago. At a
okay.
camp. So we got that. We've got Keon Coleman, you know.
Was the clip of Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson yelling at each other real?
I want to get to that.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
The quote on it was not real.
Okay, that's what I meant.
But
okay.
The clip was real. Does Garrett Wilson want out? Got to ask that question. 803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. Line open for you. And when we get back, I want to dig into some of that salary stuff. The Tua contract, the Jordan Love contract, what it really means. And if there's a way we should be looking at the Bills differently because of it. That's next here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.